Hello and welcome to a special extra episode of the Spectator podcast. Today we're discussing the divisive issue of fox hunting. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm delighted to be joined by Jim Barrington, the consultant to the Countryside Alliance and a former director of the League Against Cruel Sports, Sonal Badiani-Hammond, campaigns officer for PETA, and the Spectator's Camilla Swift. As part of the Tory manifesto, Theresa May has included a pledge to give MPs a free vote on fox hunting. The Prime Minister has also said she would vote to lift the ban on fox hunting, despite never having taken part in a hunt, insisting that it's less cruel than other ways of controlling foxes. So, Jim, first of all, why do you think she's offered this vote?
I think we have to be clear as to what she has offered or what the manifesto offers. It is to look at the future of the Hunting Act. That's slightly different to previous commitments. And I think it's absolutely right. Basically, what she's saying is, let's review it. It's now been in place for 12 years or more. Let's look and see what it's done. If the anti-hunting movement, who brought this in and with their sympathetic MPs on the basis of emotion rather than evidence, then let them prove that it has actually improved animal welfare. I don't think it has. The limited evidence that we have so far shows that animal welfare is actually far worse. So I'm happy to have this Hunting Act reviewed. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. And if that evidence is presented properly in Parliament, then hopefully the sensible MPs will vote that way.
Sonal, what evidence is there that it's improved animal welfare?
Well, there have been actually over 500 prosecutions in the past 12 years. So it's evident that it's been an extremely successful piece of legislation, and some argue the most successful legislation for wild animals that has been passed. And, you know, to overturn a ban that has been successful, has been in place for over a decade, and has the support of the vast majority of the voting public would be undemocratic. So she really should be careful about subverting the will of the majority.
That makes sense to prosecutions, but in terms of animal welfare, is there lots of evidence that, you know, could be brought up when this discussion comes into Parliament?
I honestly don't think that ripping foxes apart, chasing them for hunts that can last up to 2 hours, has anything to do with animal welfare. If we were to repeal this act, the two issues just are not the same. The best thing we've done for foxes is banning fox hunting in the first instance. You know, let's take a moment to remember why it was banned. It was banned because we're talking about torturing animals. We're talking about killing them in the cruelest way possible. You know, foxes are canines. They have the same capacity to feel pain and suffering as dogs do. And many of us share our homes with dogs and we share our lives with them. Now imagine humans are set upon your dog and chase them for 2 hours until exhausted. They are ripped to shreds, bleeding. Imagine how we would feel. And that's how we should be talking about foxes, because they feel exactly the same pain and suffering as dogs do.
I'm sorry, that's simply scientifically wrong. They do not. They live in a different state. They are wild animals. And what you do to your domestic animals and what you do to wild animals has, by the very nature of the fact that we don't have control over wild animals, it has to be different. So petting your dog is one thing. Petting, let's say, a deer would be very different because it's not used to humans. But you say that this is a successful piece of legislation. The vast majority of the prosecutions are for poaching. They are not for actually hunting. And the problem with the Hunting Act is, if you read it, as most people haven't, it is a patchwork of illiberal, illogical acts that you can and can't do. For example, if your dog chases a mouse, you are technically breaking the law. You can chase a rat and hunt a rat, but you can't hunt a mouse. You can hunt a rabbit, but you can't hunt a hare. You can put a terrier down to flush out a fox and kill it to protect that incredibly rare bird, the pheasant, of which there must only be about 50 million in the country, yet you cannot do it to a hen harrier. Exactly the same process. It is a piece of nonsense, and it was brought in on the back of a political campaign. It was not an animal welfare campaign, and I would like to see at least one scientific paper that's been peer-reviewed and published that justifies it, because for years we've been asking the anti-hunting people just for that, and it simply does not exist.
I really don't understand. So do you want justification for torturing and killing animals? Is that what you're asking for?
No, I'm not. I don't think it is torturing and killing animals. I think it's a very natural process. On one hand, we talk about rewilding, and we wonder at the films of David Attenborough and others, and we watch wolves hunting. Hounds hunt in very much the same way. And foxes are not the top predator. They are a middle predator, a meso-predator. We've lost our apex predators pretty much. We still have the golden eagle, but we don't have wolves and we don't have brown bear in this country. And that is known as the trophic cascade. So by using hounds, which operate in the same way that wolves would do, pretty much, we are actually rebalancing that trophic cascade. It is a very natural process. The fox doesn't have, and we're talking about the fox here, but there are, you know, also deer and hare as well are involved. But the fox has its natural mechanisms to run away. It does not have a natural mechanism to cope with the gun or the snare. So it is actually a very natural process.
Can I just ask, in terms of PETA, so obviously at the moment, I think Jim just mentioned it, it's illegal to shoot, to trap, to snare a fox. But in terms of PETA's thoughts on that, do you believe that fox numbers should be controlled at all, or just let live and see what happens?
No, we absolutely don't believe they should be controlled. I mean, nature does regulate itself, and we've seen in areas where hunters kill foxes that actually more foxes move in because they have larger territories, there are more mating opportunities, there's more food. So you're never resolving any perceived problem by culling animals. It's completely ineffective, not to mention incredibly cruel. And, you know, just to go back before about talking about how foxes and dogs can't be compared, that's simply not true. You cannot say that a fox will not feel pain when ripped to pieces, when he's bleeding, when his organs are ruptured, when he's exhausted and petrified.
But you are, if you've seen a hunt, and I have, and I've seen it both as an anti and a pro, a hunt is actually, as far as the fox is concerned, something that lasts about 20 minutes. That's the average hunt. It's not 2 hours. Deer hunting, a bit different, goes on a bit longer. But for most of the time, the fox doesn't even know it's being hunted. It certainly doesn't know what it's running from. It doesn't know it's running from death because, obviously, it's never been killed before. And that's something which animals at that level cannot perceive. They can't look into the future and experience something that they've never actually physically experienced. But for most of the time, it's simply moving away. And it's only in the last moments that it actually probably feels a high degree of stress. But once it's caught, you're talking about a 14-pound animal being caught by a number of 70-pound animals, and it's over within seconds. You cannot say that about any other method. And more importantly, you can't be as selective as hunting is, as far as any other method is concerned. Hunting is selective through the use of the scenting hound. It is testing through the chase. That's what the chase is about. That's why wolves hunt a herd of elk and try and weed out the weak and the old, the sick. And importantly, it's non-wounding. And no other method can make that claim.
Rather than trying to justify an archaic and outdated blood sport, we should actually be looking at why we're even having this conversation. We're trying to justify an act that has successfully been legislated. We're talking about overturning a ban that is successful, that is supported. 84% recently stated that they do still support the fox hunting ban, and 82% of those living in rural communities still support it. So why on earth should we be talking about taking a massively regressive step backwards instead, when we can talk about real animal welfare issues and moving forwards with our society and allowing our moral evolution to continue?
This is the point. I do look at it from an animal welfare point of view. I don't do it. I've campaigned against it for a long time. But where is the research? Where is the examination of what has happened since? Hunting with hounds does not exist in isolation. It is part of a wildlife management process whereby various methods can be used. If you remove hunting, you simply leave a vacuum for another method to move in. No one has bothered to look at that, or very few people have, in fact, and certainly no anti-organisation has looked at what the effect hunting act has had on wild animals. If they were so sure it was good, if they were so sure that animal welfare was improved, surely they would have commissioned some sort of report, some sort of science. Because if that came out, no matter how much the cost of the Hunting Act was, and it's cost millions for an absolute piece of rubbish legislation, I have to say, but it's cost millions to get onto the statute book. Surely if they'd found that research, then it would be an end to the argument. People would say animal welfare has genuinely been improved. But we know full well from the limited examination that we have now that animal welfare has not. because there are areas, and I can take you to them now, as a friend of mine told me just the other day, of an area where the foxes are virtually shot out as a result of the Hunting Act. Because what it did, it gave the fox a status. It gave the hare a status as well. Once you change the situation, people then view that animal in a different way. And as a direct result of the Hunting Act, hundreds of thousands of animals have been shot out. But we don't look at it, we don't examine it. The anti-hunting people never talk about it. And they just go around saying, well, 84% of the population are against it, therefore it's all right. We don't run the country by public opinion polls. If we did, we wouldn't need MPs. We should look at facts, and we should also listen to people who are on the ground, who do it and understand it, or people who are affected by it, rather than people who are just pressing a button saying, I don't like it, pressing a button on their computer.
But you know, we should talk about facts. And that's why I keep coming back to the cruelty of this aspect, because that's something that we've moved away from. That's 12 years of progress. That's 12 years of foxes.
It's not progress. Well, it's not progress at all.
James just said that, you know, where is the proof that there's any cruelty? You know, he's just pointed out that so many more foxes are being killed now. So where is the proof that it's the, fox, that the cruelty? Where is the welfare aspect?
The fox hunting ban has stopped the human pursuit. They have stopped packs of hounds, of human beings, chasing after these wild animals that should be left alone, petrifying them.
They're not being left alone.
But they should be. So why on earth would you take away a piece of legislation, the only piece of legislation that protects them?
Would it not be best? This is a question I put to a lot of anti-hunting people. Forget their precious Hunting Act, which I regard as a complete waste of time, a complete waste of money, and you don't have to take my word for it. You take judges, the police, senior civil servants, even that man Tony Blair, who took his eye off the ball and let his backbenchers run riot and push this piece of rubbish through. Would it not be best to say, let's look at what we do to wild animals, right across the board, not just through hunting, but look at shooting as well, and snaring, and gamekeeping, and certain aspects of farming, and say, well, we can't prove that one is necessarily better than the other. Why don't we have a law that puts a safety net under all of those? Basically so that it improves animal welfare right across the board. That would be a principled way forward. It wouldn't be saying, look, let's just pick on hunting and then let everything else carry on as if somehow it's automatically better. It's not. I can assure you it is not. Why don't we just try and raise standards across the board? That would have been a definite improvement in animal welfare. And there are plenty of people on both sides of the political spectrum who would argue that is the way forward, not picking on one activity and then assuming everything else is fine.
But you know, I don't think that, and I think the vast majority of the British public does agree with this, that blood sports have any place in modern day Britain. And so it's not about repealing an act that has gone some way to protect and to give safety to the most vulnerable. Sure, we can enhance protection. Absolutely. Let's do more for animals, but do not regress. Do not undo 12 years of progress. That just makes no sense whatsoever.
I dispute, and there are three other former directors of the league that changed their mind on a ban. There's one colleague of mine who's now a hunt master, who I used to work with at the league. There are plenty of people who have changed their mind once they've looked at the facts.
Tim, can I ask you, what was it that made you change your mind?
I came into the league because I saw images, just like a lot of people do, just like a lot of the people who sign these petitions and you know, take part in polls. They don't give much thought to it. It doesn't affect most people. Why should they be thinking about it all day long? They don't. But if they're shown an image of it, do you like it? No, I don't. Would you think it should be banned? Yes, I do. And they go off and they do something else. They don't have to live with the consequence of it. I saw it, I felt very strongly, and I still do feel strongly about animals. I've been vegetarian for well over 40 years, and I feel very strongly, certainly, about factory-farmed animals. And I felt strongly about this. And I started working with the league. I was a hunt saboteur as well, and I went out. But I wanted, when I became director, I didn't want to sit behind a desk and write propaganda. It's very easy to do, you know, to demonise your opposition. And I went out to try and see what would happen, and importantly, ask what would happen if it was stopped. You've got to know where you're going with this law. And basically, I was told at the league, well, you better keep those thoughts to yourself, you know, just shut up about it. We want to ban hunting. And that's the point. The aim was to ban hunting, not to improve animal welfare. And to the naive and the ignorant, that suits them pretty well. And to the political, certain political classes, the ones like good old Jeremy Corbyn using it on one of his platforms, you know, as if somehow he knows about fox hunting, I think is appalling. It's become a political tool.
You say it's become a political tool, and you mentioned that earlier. And Theresa May is clearly also using it
as a political tool right now. Is that...
No, I disagree. She is saying, let's look at it. That's all she's saying.
But is that not... Camilla, would you say that she's trying to canvass certain...
I don't know. I think it's interesting to question. I mean, I don't know what Jim thinks either, but why she's decided to do it, to bring up the topic at the moment. I don't know if she thinks that that's a positive. It'll help to get more rural votes, get people out supporting her, and she might want that support out in the countryside. I don't know if that's what she's thinking, or if... What would you think?
That could be. But I think if you see a law come in and you know that it's not doing any good, isn't it your sort of moral duty to say, let's look at it again? Yeah. And that's all she's doing. And indeed, if the anti-hunting movement can bring forward the evidence and the science behind it and say, look, this activity is beyond the pale as far as suffering is concerned, then presumably it won't go through. But, you know, look what happened last time. We tried to change the law a couple of years ago, and the good old Scottish National Party, who said they actually used the Hunting Act as an example of not interfering in something that applies only to England and Wales, because they were given a nice chunk of money from an animal rights organisation, they changed their mind. So if you want a party that you can't trust, the SNP's for you.
I mean, if you look at Theresa May's voting record, she's always voted against the current law that we have now before it happened and so on. So, I mean, she's always thought that way. I don't think she's changed her mind. But I also think if she wants to get rural voters behind her, like Andrea Leadsom, for example, promised a 25-year plan on food and farming, which hasn't yet been published. And I know lots of people, you know, farmers and people living in the countryside are worried about Brexit and what that means. You know, that plan just hasn't emerged. So actually, I think if she wants rural votes and people in the countryside to go out and campaign, there are probably other things that she should focus on rather than...
But she was asked a question, of course.
Yeah, so I mean, she was asked a question. The Mirror had it on their cover, and then she was there. The fact that the Mirror person said, you know, what are your views on fox hunting? She didn't have, you know, she had to answer the question, so that's why.
So is there any indication that Theresa May is very interested in animal welfare, or do you think this is a political thing?
I think Theresa May is not interested in animal welfare at all. If you look at the section for animals in the manifesto, you can see that the ban on ivory trade has gone, the ban on wild animals and travelling circuses has gone, and instead she has put in a promise to look at a repeal of a successful act that has stopped thousands of foxes from being hunted down and killed in an extremely depraved and callous manner.
Have you seen a hunt, Sonal?
Yes, of course.
Have you been out? What forms of hunting?
No,
have you
I haven't
seen?
Been to a hunt, but do you know what? I don't need to be present during that depraved act. I have.
That's a bit like the old argument, I've never seen a murder, but I know it's wrong, isn't it?
Well, have you seen a murder?
I don't. No,
have
I haven't.
You?
No,
have
I
you
haven't.
Seen a murder?
But I think most
and
people.
Do you know
would.
It's wrong?
Yeah, I
do feel
know
exactly
it's wrong,
the same way about the murder of foxes.
But I've also. Well, I think we kill animals. I think to use the word murder is a little odd. I mean,
well,
I would agree.
The same thing.
Of course. And would it not be best to manage them in the way that is the most natural for them? One thing that
absolutely.
I always
so
that
I
always
interject.
Ask,
leave them to themselves would be, absolutely be the best
one,
way to manage them.
One
why
thing
on
that,
earth would, should we chase them down
well, but,
and kill them?
Well, first of all, we have to manage wildlife. Or do you accept that concept or not? Do we should we manage wildlife or not? Because it's a question that I always put to anti-hunting people.
I know.
We
do.
Know what you oppose, but what do you stand for? And you
we
must know what you stand for.
We absolutely do not believe that humans need to interfere with nature. That can self-regulate itself.
All nature?
And it has been proven...
All nature?
It has been proven that killing animals is ineffective as a means of population control. So why on earth we're even connecting these two issues, I really don't know.
How would you
control
deer?
You know, when you kill a fox, more simply move in, they have an enlarged territory, they have more resources, more mating opportunities, and we've actually seen in areas where there have been lots of foxes killed, that vixens have become more fertile and they've had larger litters as a result, because that is the natural biological response to any animal under attack.
So what you're saying is that we shouldn't control any wild animal for any reason, is that right?
Humans never make nature better. We
hang
should
on,
absolutely
let, just,
allow
let's just
them.
Get that point. Are you saying that we should not control any wild animal in any way?
Are you saying that the best way to control fox populations is by chasing them down and ripping them to shreds?
I'm saying that hunting
I believe
hunting
that
is part of a wildlife management process, and we have to manage wild animals.
And if you truly want to manage wild animals, and if you truly believe that there has to be a method to be found, you know, we've had a man on the moon, I'm sure you can find a way that doesn't involve animal abuse.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Just finally, Camilla, James Ellingpool has written in The Spectator that when he read about Theresa May's proposal, his first instinct was to think, shh, Theresa, don't remind them that we're still here. Do you think there's an aspect of this where people in the hunting community aren't particularly delighted that hunting is being brought up again as a what is quite clearly a very political debate?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I mean, I think there are quite a few people who do go out hunting and are quite happy with the law as it is, because they just go out and have a jolly day on their horse and they are quite happy with the law as it is. And I, you know, there's an interesting another part that James just mentioned, which is he talks about the hunt staff who are in charge of it. And I do think the current law is a complete legal minefield. And you are out, you're trail hunting. The fact of the matter is, you're being filmed at all times. And if anything does ever go wrong, if these prosecutions happen, the people who are going to have to take the blame for it, who are going to go to court, are the people who are being paid peanuts, essentially, to do a job that they love. And it's not a fair law. I mean, the current situation isn't fair for anyone.
I would agree entirely with that. It's not the people who are basically funding the operation, because it's not the people who hunt, it's the hounds that hunt. And the huntsman could actually do his job without the field, but the field go along for an equestrian side. That's where, when people say, I love by hunting, that's really what they're talking about. They're not talking about loving watching something torn to bits. You know, it's, there may be a few perverts in the hunting world, but you know, most of the people I know simply like hunting for the whole aspect of actually what it is. But it is a process which cannot be replicated. And I do find it strange that whenever you ask the question about what do you stand for, you never, ever get an answer. It's mainly because people, they can all dislike hunting, but they don't know what to put in its place.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sonal. And thank you, Camilla. And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called The Spectator Podcast. Just a reminder that we've got a special subscription offer to The Spectator. If you get 12 issues for just £12, which includes full access to all of our website and apps, it now also comes with a moleskin notebook worth £20. To get this, just go to spectator.co.uk/podoffer.